Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear them, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Potamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of the Lord. Why is it that Stephen Hawking asks that we can remember the past but not the future? Christian writer Don McLean says it sounds like a silly question, but it's not. Hawking, probably the foremost physicist and mathematician alive today, doesn't ask silly questions, right, Walter? The fact is, there are people who can see the future. Not in a crystal ball, but perhaps in art. A painter looks at an empty canvas and already sees the picture in their minds, and then paints to recreate that image. A musician looks at a score and hears the music before he puts the bow to string, before she draws breath to launch into song. A potter, to use an image from the prophet Jeremiah, looks at a glumpy lump of clay and sees a bowl or a cup or a vase or a statue. Then the potter wrestles with the clay until the work of art has been set free. The same is true for an athlete. Many good athletes imagine their future. Divers, runners, pitchers, skaters see their future in their mind's eye, crossing the finishing line, executing the moves of the dive, or the perfect pitch across home plate, and then they go out, and often they do it. Not always. If any of you golf, I expect that you do the same thing before each swing. You have a vision of where you want the ball to go. If you didn't have that vision of where you wanted it to go, how would it ever get there? Don McLean also says, ultimately, any moral choices that we make today, as individuals or a community, will arise out of the vision that we have of the future. If we have a vision of the kind of world we want to live in, if we have a vision of the kind of people we want to be and God wants us to be, then and only then can we start to shape the future. To look to the future is to see where God would have us to be. And to do this, we must have the vision, not of the scientist or theologian or scholar, but of the artist and athlete. Lakeview is in this awkward, frustrating, anxiety-producing time of anticipating when we, Bill and I, your interim pastors, are going to leave. It's about 6 weeks. Part of your job in the next months will be to look forward and to look back and assess where you have been and what you have done. You will do some grieving for the loss of our relationships, and then you will begin to vision a future, called in the light of the urging of the Holy Spirit. Where does this vision come from? This vision of God who would have us, of who God would have us to be. Since this is Pentecost Sunday, we understand that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us a vision of what God intends for the church. In our scripture this morning, you heard the prophet Joel's vision of what happens to God's people when they experience the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit fills us, pushes us, and tugs at us, like the wind, like I said, that knocks our hats off or pushes us down the street. The Holy Spirit nudges us to look deep within, to pay attention. When the wind messes up my hair, and I try to keep it under control, but I'm getting some kind of message. When we pay attention to the tugs and pushes of the Holy Spirit, we can hear God's voice calling to us. God is calling us to be, as Paul says in Romans, heirs, adopted children of God. Our yearning is to be more than we think we are, to be closer to God. The Holy Spirit calls us to use the gifts that we have been given in meaningful and creative ways. We feel the tug to put ourselves in Christ's service, to show God's love and justice to the world. Now, it's not enough just to feel those tugs and pushes of the Holy Spirit. It's vital that we articulate the vision. The artist and athlete have a concrete plan or vision. They may write it down, they may say it out loud, they may rehearse it in their minds, but it is real. They may have drafts or practices, but the vision is always before them of what it will be like in the end. Lori Beth Jones, who is the author of this little book, Jesus CEO, writes in another little book, The Path, Creating Your Mission Statement for Work and for Life. She says, all significant changes and inventions begin with a vision first. The founding fathers who met in Philadelphia envisioned a more perfect union based on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, they did not write down, we're going to lose our land and our lives and our fortunes and everything we've worked for while trudging through mud, enduring freezing cold, and dying from disease and lead bullets. Now, that was the reality of what did happen to many of them. Yet it was the vision of a new country shimmering in the not-too-distant future, which kept them loading their muskets, pushing their mules, eating hardtack, and sipping bad soup. The proverb, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," emphasizes the need to envision a future. Our very existence depends on it. Now, we often resist the tugs of the Holy Spirit. We try to walk around against the wind to keep control or go where we want to go, not where God wants us to go. To let go and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit can be really scary. It may mean changing. And we all know change is hard. Like the founding fathers, we focus on trudging through the mud and not on the vision of freedom. If each athlete focused on the pain of training and not the vision of winning, they would never succeed. I challenge you in the weeks and months ahead to listen closely to the tugs and pushes of the Holy Spirit, calling you all to be all that you can be as children of God. Struggle to articulate your vision as a congregation. This congregation is living into a vision of a Pentecost church shaped together through your experiences as a multicultural, biracial fellowship that is in dialogue with a constantly changing and needy community. Lakeview's life has been shaped by your mission statement that was crafted through some years of discernment. I remember when Pastor Sutton was helping you work on that. I want you to look at the front of your bulletin. Believe it or not, your mission statement is right there. I want you to read it with me out loud. Can you see it in the box, bottom? The love of Christ leads us to nurture the spiritual life of our diverse congregation and to do justice and mercy in the world. Now, that's a great mission statement. But it's important to understand that a mission statement is not a vision statement. You have to have a mission statement first, but you also need a vision statement to make your mission real. A vision is a future image, like that crafted by an athlete or an artist, of what the future looks like. In the past few months, we've had really amazing conversations together in Sunday school. And there has been some envisioning starting to happen in that class around this congregation being a voice for racial justice and reconciliation. There have been glimpses of a vision that involves being a model for the community of how people of faith across racial lines can work together for justice, compassion, and changing our city and our community. I suspect that any new vision that Lakeview dreams will include those core values of justice, of mission, and inclusiveness. But a new vision will rightfully see some very new and different images of the future. Some of you will see a dynamic church full of children and youth. Others will see a church that ministers with creativity and energy to those in the later years of life. There are old visions of how this lovely old building can be a vital ministry and mission presence. And I suspect some of you have visions that you may have never articulated or not been realized. There may be some visions that involve this congregation not in this particular building or space. Over the next months and years, as you welcome a new pastor, you will be crafting a vision that grows out of your understanding of who you are as children of God, heirs to all the goodness that God promises. Your vision will be driven by the work of the Holy Spirit that will keep you unsettled, push you around like a strong wind, will fire you up like the flames on Pentecost. Your vision will emerge as you listen for the still small voice and the wind that is the breath of God, as it calls you to be as charged as the first Christians in Jerusalem. It's not going to be easy getting there. There will be many steps and bumps on the way. It will be vital to stay engaged, stay involved. During a time of visiting preachers, you will gradually disengage from this soon-to-be former interim pastorate. You will invest in the work of a new pastor and rediscover who you are and where God is calling you. As a congregation and as individuals, you are not alone as you move toward the vision. The Holy Spirit that came with fire and wind will always be with you, just as your breath while you live is always with you, not only pushing you and tugging at you, but providing support and comfort and help. Pete Fernlander, an evangelist, says, here's the point. We are Pentecost people. When Pentecost people look at the world around them, the circumstances they face, the tragedies and injustices that occur, the changes that are so badly needed, they can't ask, where is God in this? Because the answer is, the Spirit dwells within you. Pentecost people don't ask why God doesn't change the world. They ask God to change themselves. May the Holy Spirit tug at you and push you to listen to the vision God has for you and to make that vision real. Let us pray. God of fire and breath, of wind and energy, we pray that this congregation will hear your voice, feel your breath, and move more and more to the kind of community that you have always wanted them to be. Empower them to speak truth to justice, to injustice, to continue the work of reconciliation, of standing together as a multiracial congregation, and showing the world what God intends for all of us to be and to do. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand and join me in our Pentecost litany. God's Spirit joins with our spirits. Alleluia. Come, Spirit of wisdom, and teach us to value the higher gifts. Come, Spirit of understanding, and show us all things in the light of eternity. Come, Spirit of counsel, and guide us along the straight and narrow path to our heavenly home. Come, Spirit of might, and strengthen us against every evil spirit and interest that would separate us from you. Come, Spirit of knowledge, and teach us the shortness of life and the length of eternity. Come, Spirit of godliness, and stir up our minds and hearts to love and serve the Lord our God all our days. Come, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and make us tremble with awe and reverence before your divine majesty. Come, Holy Spirit, rain upon our dry and dusty lives, wash away our sin and heal our wounded spirits. Kindle within us the fire of your love to burn away our apathy. With your warmth, bend our rigidity and guide our wandering feet. Amen. And our hymn is from the Tan Hymnal, Spirit of the Living God, 320.